Oh, your tattoo is the atheist. That's great.
She don't fuck around, man.
Wow.
She's ardent.
In for a pound.
What is ardent
Jimmy,
mean?
Your subscribers don't do that.
What is ardent
How do you
mean?
Know? She's not. How do you know?
Yeah.
She's not a subscriber.
Ardent, I would say it means vociferous.
Well, that's helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
What does ardent mean?
Yeah.
Passionate.
There you go. That's the right answer.
Hello and welcome to Skeptically Yours, where thinking is free. Today's episode brought to you by The Big Bang.
Boom.
Sitting next to me is my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson.
Hi, everybody.
You know Heather from the No God Band, from the Inner Tubes, from our other award-winning podcast, Ardent Atheist. You can find links to our guests' website, join our Twitter and Facebook feeds, subscribe to our premium 90-minute full-length episodes, and our email at skepticallyyours.net.
If you'd like to take part in the live chat moderated by our friend and boy toy, Joe Swam, go to skepticallyyours.net/live and chat us up right now.
And please go to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast for free, write a review, help us get in the top 10 where you've never put us. You may also go to skepticallyyours.net/premium and subscribe to our premium ad-free content for a measly $10 per year.
Subscribe now or secrets will be told.
Secrets? That's it?
Yes. Shame is very effective, you know.
I don't know if that's true.
No?
No. It's,
Do you want me to tell them about the...
No, you wouldn't.
If you... I would if you'd get them to... you wrote this script.
I fucked it all up.
I would if it would get them to subscribe.
Please subscribe.
That's what I thought.
It wasn't that funny.
No, it wasn't. If you're a listener who's ever been duped by anything that's been debunked on Snopes, welcome. Your ordeal is over.
We're coming to you live from E&H Studios in sunny Studio City, California at nighttime. In the Studio City tonight, we have Jimmy Dore and Hank Thompson. You know these guys... From the world of reason,
and showbiz.
And showbiz, yeah. Hey, let's let the music... We kind of got close to finishing on the music just right. That mess up got us where we needed to be.
That is some of my favorite betting music I've ever heard in my life.
Beautiful. I loved it.
Yeah?
I almost danced.
Yeah, well, thank you very much.
What time is it?
What?
Time to get ill.
Talk time.
It is 7:34.
7:34, 26 minutes before the top of the hour. We're going to give you the traffic and weather both ways.
What's with the radio guys that always have stopped up noses? Because that's what that is.
Is that what that is? I don't know what that's talking about.
They're jealous of their baseball announcer bigger brothers.
Yeah, there's
Better view at the office.
Have you also noticed that anchors oftentimes have speech impediments?
Yeah.
Tom Brokaw?
What is that about?
Yeah.
The Centennial Olympics.
What in the fuck?
Tom Brokaw, Nancy Reagan lover, blew each other outside the White House in the 80s.
I'm Tom Brokaw, reporting live from the Achilles Laurel.
Yeah. And Dan Rather has the S.
Yes.
He has the super
high
pitch.
Heavy
S.
on the sh.
Yeah.
Yep.
You can hear his teeth clacking around
and
in there.
I think that's just because he's now has he has dentures, right?
Yeah.
That wasn't always
But
that
he
way.
Forgot to lose his teeth first.
Oh, is that it? Yeah. Is it they become that way?
Is there a possibility? And I don't want to besmirch Dan Rather. I think he did a lot of great work, and he got fired for telling the truth in a sloppy way. But the point is he smart?
You never know. I mean, when it comes to anchors.
And you never know.
There's no way of knowing whether they're just reading shit that they know nothing about.
I know Tom Brokaw practiced access journalism. He didn't really practice journalism, right?
Yeah.
So when you get he got an award. When you get an award from the military academy, you're really not doing your job as a journalist.
He literally, I guess that's true.
He literally got an award, right?
Yeah.
And so it's just my whole point is that. By the way, and Brian Williams got his show. He's back. He's back.
Yeah.
He's got, it's called The 11th Hour.
The 11th Hour.
We've been watching it,
haven't
we?
That's correct.
They're not hired for their smarts. They're hired for their ability to put words together.
And look pretty.
And hold their composure.
They don't all look pretty.
In front of the camera.
They have to be just compelling in the hottest moments. They have to be clean and be able to say a sentence very crisply and not not get show too much emotion.
Brian Williams and Rachel Maddow. We talk about that on Jimmy's show a lot. How he just loves to crack her up. That is the news. You get a whole hour of those two together, and it is like, having. They're on the giggle juice.
He know he has no chance with her? He does know that, right?
All right. Well, maybe she'll get drunk.
He's looking for street cred from her. That's what he's looking for.
That's what he wants.
Yeah, he's trying to get back in with the kids.
He has such a phony delivery, doesn't he, though?
Well, now you see right through him. Now you see right through everything.
Could you imagine him in the real world ordering coffee with that notion. I'm not trying to do a bit. All of a sudden, I realize.
Oh, it sounds like it.
Yeah, I know.
Now I'm pissed off that you're not.
I almost had to. I wasn't going to do
that. I hope
the
Jack Nicholson's in line.
That's not a, but, like, nobody speaks like that.
What if Jack
that?
Nicholson is the cashier?
Oh, that'd be crazy.
Right?
Yeah, right.
Hey,
yeah.
Man.
What if it was Jim from Taxi?
Walking.
Serious.
James Polk ordering coffee.
I don't know who James Polk is.
Former
president.
President. Yeah, yes.
Yeah. Oh, really?
The smartest guy at the table.
I have the top.
Is actually runs your video for you.
Mm-hmm.
He's your guy. He's your tech genius.
James Polk.
No, this
no,
guy.
Me. Hank Polk.
Oh, Hank Polk.
Yeah. rhymes with
By the way, Hank Paulson.
Oh, do you want to? Okay. A little family dirty secret in my family.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
My mom dated him. When they were teens.
Dated whom?
Hank Paulson. Sorry.
Now, I need to know who that is. Now I'm the dumbest guy in the room.
Treasury Secretary.
When everything
went. Oh, I know who he is.
During the financial
collapse
of the Bush thing.
Yeah.
So,
By the way, he made $700 million.
Yeah, doing all right. He was the one who famously got down on his knees and begged Nancy Pelosi to help them with TARP money or whatever. You know, that's one of the stories that happened back then. So this guy.
Did you ever see The Big Short?
Yeah, great movie.
The Big Short. Watched it a couple of months ago.
I just watched it like 2 weeks ago. Did you watch that?
No, I don't know.
Entertaining.
That movie is unbelievable.
I don't think I saw it.
And
it tells you that the whole banking system was based on fraud.
Just how
good. I did see that. Yeah. Okay.
Heather and I watched it, I think, together. Yeah.
That guy's from China. That's my numbers guy. Look at his face. You see his face?
That's racist.
You see his face? He's from China. He doesn't even speak English. He won a math contest in China.
Yeah, it's a horrifying movie to watch.
But the great performances, Steve Carell. I love my job. I love my job.
Yeah.
I love my job.
Yeah. And Christian Bale, too.
Yes, Christian
Bale.
Playing
a weirdo.
He played a great weirdo.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't know, but we'll be right back with more movies.
No, it's okay. It's okay. Sorry. So if you're a listener who hasn't heard of Jimmy Dore, what the fuck is wrong with you? How is that possible?
Not possible.
He is, in my opinion, the premier political comic of our age.
Thank you, that's
how I feel about you.
Who bless?
Yeah.
I find myself as more of a conscious observer.
Conscientious observer?
Maybe. And a conscientious objector.
Yeah. You're a guy
You're a subconscious subjector.
You're a left guy, and the left has left you now.
Oh, there is no left in America.
It's all over for you.
How many more jokes like that can we do?
Jimmy gave up on Hillary like last week, was it? You started turning on Hillary, right?
I have, my whole thing is that, the Democrats became Republicans. And what do you mean by that, Jimmy? Well, they're in bed with Wall Street, and Wall Street's agenda is diametrically opposed to workers. And so if you want to fight for $15 minimum wage like they did in Seattle, they had to fight against the Democratic Party. If you want to fight against fracking, you're going to have to fight against the Democratic Party. If you want to fight to re-regulate Wall Street, you're going to have to fight against the Democratic Party. If you want to fight for less war, you're going to have to fight. Oh, by the way, all this latest bombing in Syria is brought to us by Nobel Peace Prize winner Barack Obama. For people who enjoy irony with their bombing.
Yeah. Do you think, and I could be wrong about this, I don't know, I really am, I've only just become mildly literate in politics because of Trump.
Oh, really?
Right?
Okay.
Prior to Trump, I sat in an audience or on the sidelines, I'd look at what you do, and I'd be amazed by it. I mean, I was one of those assholes that honestly got his politics from Jon Stewart.
You see, Emery loves reality TV. And so
I don't love reality TV. I don't shut up.
You said you wouldn't tell.
That's the secret. When Trump came on, that's when things got crazy and it became reality TV. And
I guess. Yeah, I hadn't thought of it. She may be onto something about why I'm into this. But I now I'm into politics suddenly. I mean, I've been yanked in. I'm 52 years old, and I've been turned into an old guy.
Well, you wouldn't describe what you've always done as being into politics?
No, social. So,
kind of tangentially then, I guess, right?
I was a social comic, not a political comic.
Yeah.
I never belonged on a bill with political comics. I couldn't hold my own. I didn't know enough to talk about any of it.
Mm-hmm.
I do now. Again, thanks to this fucking piece of shit Trump.
Yeah.
I'm suddenly politically aware, and I hate it. I just hate it.
It's wild how many people are actually racist in America. Because I thought that was all cured with Barack Obama's election. I thought racism was all over.
It was done.
Now they'll shut up, right? They got their president. But it turns out cops are still killing them at a pretty high clip.
Yeah,
at a pretty high clip. Today, a guy with his arms up.
Arms up. Coming up. His car, if your car breaks down, now you can't even be black while breaking down.
Right.
Right. So apparently, but apparently it was a woman cop that shot him. So that's a step in the right direction.
Equality.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right.
So it wasn't an angry, scared white guy.
No, so it's just like we have equality right with the president, with the Hillary Clinton, because somebody said to me on Twitter, come on, Jimmy, remember what happened in 2000 and we're still paying for George Bush's mistakes. And I go, you mean like Iraq? That was also Hillary's mistake. We're still paying for Hillary's mistake.
Iraq was Hillary's mistake.
Yeah, she was a full-throated supporter of the Iraq war.
Right, I get that. I mean, I guess I'm...
You knew the Iraq War was bullshit before we went in.
This is the liberal that I am.
I did. Hank knew.
I knew.
This is the liberal that I am. Well, I was going to get to this point for you. Maybe you can answer this for me. Hank, maybe you can help. I don't know if I'm right about this, but
it seems to me like
it doesn't matter who gets in. We are a warring nation. And what do you call that part of our economy, if you will? The offense machine gets to decide whether we're going to war or not, and then
the id.
Yeah, well, I mean,
the defense machine,
the defense monster,
military and
the military industrial complex.
The thing Eisenhower warned us against.
Yeah, it doesn't. It seems to me that it isn't about whether you're a liberal who doesn't want to go to war. They've built a system that you can't combat. From within. It's not an option.
We've dropped so many bombs in the Middle East that they ran out.
That's not a joke, is it?
That's not a joke. They literally, the head of the Air Force was like, hey, we're running out of bombs. They dropped so many bombs.
We're getting low on the bombs.
And, you know, you turn on the TV and the whole right-wing news media is like, Barack Obama's too soft on ISIS. It's like they ran out of bombs.
Right. they had to work 3 weekends to get caught up on those bomb shipments.
And it turns out, by the way, that's the only thing we still make. In America, and we sell bombs to places like Saudi Arabia, which is for religious fanatics who then take their bombs and blow up innocent people in Yemen, and we sell it to Israel, and they commit war crimes in Gaza, and according to the UN, and then so we're selling it to some pretty hairy dudes around the world. We don't make televisions or radios, but we make bombs.
Let's say Bernie got in.
Uh huh.
Okay, just for discussion's sake,
they'd kill him.
Is that what you think?
Well,
that's what I think about Trump.
If you think about what happened, is that the DNC, meaning the which is they're in bed with Wall Street and corporations and fracking and all that stuff, they're in bed with them.
What's wrong with fracking?
So it's horrible. It's worse for the climate than coal. I mean, it's horrible, right? The people because it releases
fracking is when you shoot water down into the mantle. Where the oil is, and that forces the oil.
High pressure, very high pressure.
It pressurizes those stratas of rock and causes them to dislodge, and then that releases natural gas and oil. But it's not water. It's like a mix, a toxic mix of chemicals and all kinds of garbage.
Toxic mix of chemicals, right?
That turns out to be radioactive. That stuff stays down there, and that stuff gets into the water.
The groundwater.
It also causes earthquakes.
Right.
Now, I have seen the earthquakes thing.
And we're exporting that all across the world. Hillary Clinton is exporting that all across the world.
There isn't evidence. According to a skeptic I know, and by the way, this is a skeptic show.
Uh-huh.
That's why I'm asking all these questions, right?
Yeah,
we're not
absolutely.
Doing the atheist show right now. We're doing the skeptic show. It's skeptically yours. For the record, there's no God either. But the evidence...
There is one consciousness.
There isn't evidence, says the guy who smoked pot on the way over.
Yeah. There is one consciousness.
What do you mean by this?
Well, that's what Bill Hicks used to say. He says we're all one consciousness.
Yeah, he was a Jesus nut. He was wrong.
Experiencing ourselves subjectively.
Uh-huh.
We're just energy condensed to a slow vibration. By the way, quantum physics now, Emery, if you know, I've been looking into this a lot. And so the whole thing about quantum physics, they try to find out what is the basic building block of matter, of life, right?
Yeah.
And, when they get down there, it disappears, right? So when they look at it, it's not there until they look at it. They can't really tell where it's at. That's the whole thing about physics. You're supposed to be able to predict. And so they can't predict where it's going to be, the matter, the electron, until they measure it. It's not there. And Yeah, so that is its manifesting from into form from consciousness. That's what the physicists...
You just made a leap.
That's what the...
You lost just... Me.
Yeah, no. You just...
I didn't know Deepak Chopra had a podcast.
Well done. You just made a big leap, Jimmy.
No, I'm probably leaving out a lot of stuff because I'm not a physicist, but this is according to, like, Penrose and big-time physicists. Right now, the leading physicists are saying they're trying to... They talk... with the words they use is non-local consciousness.
Yeah, no. I've read what you're talking about.
Where does the sin come from?
From that book right behind you.
Uh-oh.
That's all you need
to
know.
The Holy Bible.
Right there.
I like that.
Yeah, don't put your finger there.
Drilled a hole in it.
But it's called the measurement.
Yeah. Don't do it.
Now your pinky has been where my cock was.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Oh.
Wow.
We try to stop
people. Yep. Not bad. Yeah. Good job. Someone uses dial.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hey.
So so what you're arguing or proposing is the idea that matter comes from consciousness. That's the
form comes from the formless. Yes.
The formless is accurate. Consciousness is an injection of absolute bullshit.
But that sounds like the God of the Gaps argument in a way. It's like, well, we reached a part where we can't see anymore because our tools aren't precise enough. Therefore, whatever's past that has to be something metaphysical.
That's what mankind does all the time.
Yeah, so.
The fact that we don't understand why particles are popping in and out of existence doesn't mean... It's a brain, man. It doesn't mean that. It just doesn't. What it means is we don't know yet. We do not understand why it's possible to spin an atom in one direction and then have an atom that's connected to that on the other side of the state spin with it.
Which is what
we don't understand what's causing this.
So that's the thing. Yeah, that's called that non-local consciousness, right? And that they don't understand that. And that's the only thing in the universe faster than light. And light is constant, the speed of light.
Yeah.
Even if you're traveling at the speed of light, it's constant.
Jimmy, I think you're doing this on purpose to give us a topic to talk about.
What?
No, I'm serious.
You just want us to yell at you.
I find this kind of stuff extremely fascinating. I just think that we can derive this notion of consciousness, which is what I think is just an imperfect way of describing the curse that we all suffer from, which is that we're alive, but that happens within what we perceive. And yes, there are more things that we'll discover as our instruments get better.
Right.
You know, like we didn't know what the hell the sky was until someone put a couple of lenses and made a telescope, and suddenly our the amount of data we had access to increased.
Yeah, it used to just be ether.
Right.
Right? All right, we'll be right back. You're listening to Skeptically Yours on SkepticallyYours.net and available at the iTunes Store. More after this unavoidable irritation.
Good news, everyone.
That's right, stolen old guy voice. Great news indeed. We have a premium ad-free service. We do the show for 90 minutes. You'll be able to listen to the live show and or download the first hour free from iTunes. The premium service, however, will allow you to subscribe to the full 90-minute ad-free show. It's only $10 per year. We will, by the way, be changing that very soon. We are switching our model. What's it called, Heather?
Patreon.
We're going to a Patreon model. So stay tuned for the Patreon model. We'll tell you more about that as soon as we can. If you want to support us, please go to skepticallyyours.net/premium and subscribe. My grandfather had a heart of a lion and a lifetime ban from the city zoo.
Foundation Beyond Belief is a community of compassionate humanists and atheists supporting outstanding charities worldwide. Members sign up for automatic donations starting at $5 a month, then distribute those funds however they wish among the featured charities. To date, this unique humanist organization has raised over $750,000 to make this world a better, more humane place. We don't look to the skies for a better world. Foundation Beyond Belief is humanity at work. Learn more or join us at foundationbeyondbelief.org.
Hi, I'm David Diskin, and I wanted to tell you about Camp Quest West. We're a secular summer camp for non-religious families, and our week-long program for kids runs this summer in locations in California and over a dozen others throughout the U.S. At Camp Quest, we give kids the traditional camp experience, like archery, swimming, arts and crafts, and campfire songs, but we add science, skepticism, humanism, and critical thinking. There's a few spots left for parents who want to register their kids, but we're also asking for your help. We turn every donation into camperships for families that can't afford to send their children to camp. We're 100% volunteer-based, a tax-exempt 501c3, and our amazing financial aid program is supported by the Free Thought and Skeptic community by people like you. I want to see how much Emery and Heather's fans can raise for Camp Quest West. Visit tinyurl.com/ardentcampquest or look for the link on their Facebook page. You can learn more about our California camps and the others throughout the U.S. by visiting campquest.org.
Hey, kids, remember the good old days of simple, wholesome fun? Back when you could watch cartoons on Saturday morning? Remember watching Mr. Peabody and Sherman use their Wayback Machine to visit the realms of ancient history? And remember how disappointing it was that they didn't fuck anybody? Didn't you want to see Mr. Peabody get his hot little doggy holes stuffed by Zebulon Pike or Galileo? Well, now you can. Only instead of a dog and an underage boy, it's two hot sorority chicks using a time machine to screw their way through history. Time Bangers is a hot new series of erotic time travel novels set for full release on July 28th. For more details, check out www.timebangers.com. You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll come.
And now back to Skeptically Yours, where thinking is free. We're talking with Jimmy Dore and Hank Thompson. Thanks for being here, guys.
Hey, great to be here. Thanks for having us. 8:15, 15, little, little, little.
Have you ever done radio?
Have I? Yeah, I have a radio show.
But, I mean, have you ever done radio with that voice?
Sometimes I fall into it on my show.
Yeah, you do a little bit. I know.
Jimmy fell into that when Bernie Sanders was at the Young Turks.
Yeah?
Remember?
Yeah, I could stop filming, talking about
all
that.
Of a sudden, Jimmy's going, Bernie Sanders. And I was like, what are you doing?
Bernie Sanders is here.
He's 10 feet away, and you're doing this fucking gimmick voice right now?
Pretty funny voice. I can't help myself. Look, Bernie Sanders.
Yeah. He does that to everybody.
So you met Bernie. Sanders.
Yes, I met Bernie, and we actually traveled with him a little bit on the bus, press bus. And
In the motorcade. Oh,
in the motorcade.
At the airport, pulling off with this whole big crew. It was crazy. It's amazing the amount of logistics and organization. Just on that alone, those things are impressive.
Were you with him?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I was holding the camera.
Cool.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a good time. It was a good time. Do you know what? My crowd and Bernie's crowd are exactly the same.
Yeah.
And so it was like I was going to a Jimmy Dore show.
Yeah.
Being on your show, which we did last week, and you threw some clips up of it.
Yeah.
Those clips up, they turned out well, right?
They were great. Boy, it brings out the vitriol from your fans.
What does?
Well, my Twitter feed for a couple days was fuck you. It really was, you fucking piece of shit. Are you out of your fucking mind?
I'm sorry about that.
It wasn't you. Shut up. Hank wouldn't do it.
Oh, really?
No, yeah. Oh, dude. People, first of all, they don't know. People who listen to my show, they know they're listening to comics that I either know or am friendly with, at least to a certain degree.
Yeah.
And when we start giving each other shit, they're like, those guys are ribbing each other.
Yeah.
Your audience is fucking, they are dug in, dude. And I can't remember what it was. I'll look it up in a minute. But I thought a lot of people.
You had a lot of good response. Also, I mean, I'm used to people coming at me pretty hard on Twitter. It happens all the time, every day. So when I saw it, I didn't even really clock that people were coming at you. I clocked all the positive stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody was really pissed that I was grilling you about calling you the alt left or something.
Yeah. 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 You called me the Alex Jones of the left.
Yeah. Yeah. And they were like, "Fucking, what the fuck is the matter with you?"
Yeah. They got mad at you. Yeah. For that. Yeah. They're protective of me.
It's really weird.
Yeah. They're good people.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was a guy on Twitter complaining that only Jimmy was funny, was his complaint. Did you see that guy?
Yeah.
He was going after me, Jim Earl, who's also on the show a lot, Robert Yasumura, but he was attacking us, saying that we're losers, we shouldn't be. But if you're a fan of a show and you like Jimmy, Jimmy's the core of it, obviously, for a million miles. Like, why would you go after the dudes that are just there sometimes?
Yeah.
It's so strange. I don't know.
I think it's funny when people always say, when they want to hurt me. On in public meet or whatever, they call that social media. They call me a failed comedian. I'm like, you know, I was a full. I paid all my bills doing comedy before I even moved out of Chicago. I was
30
already
years. 40 years.
That was 1995. I was already a successful. Yeah. I was already doing. I didn't have a job.
There was a point in time when on the road there was no more successful comic than Jimmy Dore. What the fuck? What an idiot. Fucking moron.
No, that's just like, you know, I don't know what, I'm not, not everybody they will not everybody's Jim Carrey. No, but that's okay. Everything worked out really well. Like way really well.
Yeah, yeah. No, I paid my bills for a long motherfucking time doing stand up.
Oh, that's right. We met at the you used to come to the Funny Firm in Chicago.
Chicago, right?
That's right. That's right.
I take the attitude that in order for you to hurt me online, I have to respect you. And it's,
oh, that's a good point.
So it doesn't. I don't give that out. Yeah. Just don't give away the respect.
You got to earn it.
Yeah.
By liking
you. Say something nice, then I agree with everything you say, and I respect you forever.
Well done, Trump.
Yeah.
I get a lot of that.
It's survival.
That alt-right hate comes at me quite a bit, because I don't hate Muslims as much as other people. I'm equal in my dislike for religions.
Yeah.
I don't favor one over the other. Although, I guess I'm not as upset about Buddhism.
You get pissed about the Islamophobia thing, which is bullshit. I disagree with you wholeheartedly on that one.
No, I just don't like people who apologize. I think that you need to be consistent. That's my whole thing, is being consistent. Like, I'm against terrorism, what have you. I also realize that we're the biggest terrorists in the world.
Right.
So that's the thing that people forget. Like, yeah, I hate terrorists. I hate ISIS and all kinds. But I also realize that my responsibility is to try to influence the things I can influence, which is my government here, which is running the biggest terrorism program the world has ever seen right now.
We are terror.
Yeah.
Flying drones over.
Yeah.
Good money in terror.
A lot of money in it.
Yeah.
And plus, we're running a surveillance state, too, right now. People don't care. And they got rid of, by the way, they got rid of habeas corpus, right? So now the government can lock you up without charging you. So we don't have any rights or liberty. So we're just dropping bombs all over the world. And we're not doing it for liberty or freedom. That's all bullshit. We're not doing it for any, they're not fighting for your freedom. They're just dropping bombs because that's the business we're in.
Wait a minute. Wait, are you saying the hospitals in Afghanistan aren't suppressing my right to talk and go wherever I want, buy the dildos I want for my family?
You don't think outrageous. You don't think they're trying to make the world safer in their minds?
We've been bombing in the Middle East for 15 years straight. 5 more years, we get a gold watch.
And
we can retire.
I think they use the normal instinct to be safe in order to perpetual war to their
perpetuate
benefit.
War.
Yeah. I don't think there's much safety occurring when you consider blowback and things.
I think
comes back around.
I have to think. It seems to me that they do believe that they're making the world safer, that they're stopping this menace that's going to eventually get the bomb and just want to destroy us all.
Yeah, I agree with you on an individual.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I agree. I think individuals, the guys dropping off the bombs, the people ordering the strikes, the guys at the computers picking out the maps, everybody believes they're helping. No one's out there with evil intention. It's just that the system, I think there's an inertia built into the profits that require conflict to constantly be there. And scared people are easier to control than people who feel safe.
I was afraid that was true.
I got it.
Jimmy's paying attention.
I'm 100% on it, Emery. Yeah.
So there's lots of kinds of incentive structures built around it. I mean, it's a Eisenhower speech coming true. There's a documentary called Why We Fight.
Yeah.
By a filmmaker named Eugene Jarecki, which explores that whole thing. It's pretty good. I recommend people look
it up. Well, they did the research of the guys who went to war, and like a big percentage of them wouldn't even fire their guns.
Yeah.
Is that like in World War II or whatever?
That. Remember, they would just point, but they wouldn't really shoot.
Yeah, they wouldn't shoot at anybody, like a big percentage.
Yeah.
So, I don't know how we got to that, but we are the biggest terrorists in the world.
Biggest terrorists in the world.
By the way, they took that guy who did the bombings in New York City, and he injured 29 people, shot 2 cops.
Yeah.
They took him alive.
Yeah.
You know why?
Why?
Because they wanted to. Right? This guy, his car breaks down in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
See, this is where
cops show up
me.
And
Go
kill
on.
Him.
Yeah.
Cop shows up and they immediately kill him. You know why? Because they didn't need him alive. These guys wanted this guy alive.
Why did they want him alive but not the guys in San Bernardino?
I don't know about that, but I'm just telling you, if they want to take someone alive, they can. And when the guy's car breaks down, he has his hand up and they shoot him. The guy in the helicopter said, he looks like a bad dude.
I heard that.
He could tell from the helicopter that some guy whose car broke down is a bad dude. And he wasn't. It turns out he was coming home from community college, and he sings in his church choir.
Okay, so we're on to another topic. I want to talk more about this.
Okay.
I think the problem there, and I think these two things are similar, actually. We were talking about the industrial complex. I think the police state has built up to a place, and psychologically, those guys on the streets, they really are genuinely afraid of the dark-skinned guys.
Of course, that's been proven.
I think it's based on evidence they are seeing every day in their jobs. I'm not defending them, by the way. I'm not.
Right.
I'm not. I'm really trying to break it down neutrally right now. Every day in their jobs, they're out in the streets, and they're finding that the odds that a black guy is going to try to kill them or actually kill them are 1,000 times higher than a white guy is going to do this. And that's creating a mindset that's causing them.
You're saying that there's a perception that that's what's going on.
That's seeing that every day. They're dealing with black people every day in inner cities, and the guys that work in the burbs, when they find themselves dealing with someone, it's oftentimes a dangerous black guy. That's a thing they're experiencing. You see what I'm saying?
But that's a thing they generate from their bias, though.
Well, I think that the reason they're experiencing it is because of poverty. It's because of the racism that is driving our economics in this country. So I think we have a ground up problem to solve here.
What do you guys think about this? A friend of mine in Philadelphia, he's a cop. He was attacked by someone and subdued him by putting him in a chokehold. The guy passed out, and then the friend who was a cop took him to the hospital, and he was fine. But he subdued him. He didn't shoot him. He didn't tase him. He didn't do any of those things.
Right.
He got physically attacked.
When Jimmy and I were kids, we would see stories all the time about the cops spending hours with someone,
right,
regardless of their race, spending hours with someone trying to talk them down. They would back away when things got too heated, and then they would try to negotiate it out. It seems like they don't even have that negotiating guy anymore.
Well, let me finish real quick. So his precinct basically took his gun away and put him on probation and is sending him to a psychiatrist.
Because he didn't kill the guy?
Yeah. We'll give you your gun back when you use it.
They took his gun away, yeah.
Yeah.
What was their motivation? Do you know?
I don't know the motivation. Oh. I think that it's just the technique he chose, the choking him out into unconsciousness, was something that they don't use.
Well,
so
you can kill a guy that way.
Yeah, you can. You can also shoot a guy and kill him.
There are certain rules around the
that's how Eric Garner got killed.
Yeah,
but there's a lot of reasons that go into what's wrong with policing in America, and one of them certainly is racism. Another one is, like stop and frisk, which is just old fascism.
New York, yeah.
Yeah, that's just...
Gestapo behavior.
That's totalitarianism.
That's what Trump is for.
That's everybody knows the real crime in New York is happening on Wall Street.
Oh, by the way, the cop was black.
And
really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, they're trained... It's the culture in America that they're not there to serve the public. They're there to. They see the citizen as the other, as someone who needs to be policed, not someone who needs to be served, and whose constitutional rights need to be protected. And you often hear cops say, "My number one job is for me to get home safe at night." And you'll hear politicians say that too about cops. Their number one job. I heard Barack Obama say that as they get. No, that's not their number one job. Their number one job is to make sure I get home safe at night.
Right.
They're supposed to risk their life for cops. Otherwise. What are you? You're just a guy who we've given a gun to who happens to be the fucking most nervous guy in the neighborhood, it turns out, with a gun. That's who you are. You're supposed to not be. You're supposed to risk your life. That's why we're supposed to give you extra privileges, and we're supposed to give you respect and defer to you. You're supposed to risk your life to save others. You're not supposed to be jumpy, and your priority isn't your life. You know, you never hear a fireman go, my biggest priority is to make sure I come home safe. No.
You don't hear that.
You go into burning buildings because your biggest priority is to save others. You're risking your life. And by the way, when people say, well, cops become cops because they want to help their community. Yeah, they want to help their community. They just want to have a gun when they do it.
Uh-huh. I think that they should do a study on whether or not one thing that makes you more violent than normal, it might be donuts. This could be a donut. You're listening to Skeptically Yours on SkepticallyYours.net and available to the iTunes Store. More after this insufferable disruption. Have you heard of our other award-winning podcast, Ardent Atheist? Well, you have now, so go check it out. Go to www.ardentatheist.com. A guy named Toby is walking in the woods with his nephew, who says, "It sure is scary in these woods." Toby says, "Tell me about it. I got to walk out of here alone."
Foundation Beyond Belief is a community of compassionate humanists and atheists supporting outstanding charities worldwide. Members sign up for automatic donations starting at $5 a month, then distribute those funds however they wish among the featured charities. To date, this unique humanist organization has raised over $750,000 to make this world a better, more humane place. We don't look to the skies for a better world. Foundation Beyond Belief is humanity at work. Learn more or join us at foundationbeyondbelief.org.
Hi, I'm David Diskin, and I wanted to tell you about Camp Quest West. We're a secular summer camp for non-religious families, and our week-long program for kids runs this summer in locations in California and over a dozen others throughout the U.S. At Camp Quest, we give kids the traditional camp experience, like archery, swimming, arts and crafts, and campfire songs, but we add science, skepticism, humanism, and critical thinking. There's a few spots left for parents who want to register their kids, but we're also asking for your help. We turn every donation into camperships for families that can't afford to send their children to camp. We're 100% volunteer-based, a tax-exempt 501c3, and our amazing financial aid program is supported by the free thought and skeptic community by people like you. I want to see how much Emery and Heather's fans can raise for Camp Quest West. Visit tinyurl.com/ardentcampquest. Or look for the link on their Facebook page. You can learn more about our California camps and the others throughout the U.S. by visiting campquest.org.
Hey, kids. Remember the good old days of simple, wholesome fun? Back when you could watch cartoons on Saturday morning? Remember watching Mr. Peabody and Sherman use their Wayback Machine to visit the realms of ancient history? And remember how disappointing it was that they didn't fuck anybody? Didn't you want to see Mr. Peabody get his hot little doggy holes stuffed by Zebulon Pike or Galileo? Well, now you can. Only instead of a dog and an underage boy, it's two hot sorority chicks using a time machine to screw their way through history. Time Bangers is a hot new series of erotic time travel novels set for full release on July 28th. For more details, check out www.timebangers.com. You'll laugh. You'll cry. You'll come.
And now back to Skeptically Yours, where thinking is free. We're talking with Jimmy Dore and Hank Thompson. Thanks for being here, you guys.
Hey, thanks for having me. I love talking in my radio voice. I had a chance I get
so
to do it.
Fucking great.
I love that I have the cans on because I can really appreciate
Put
it.
Put one hand up to the ear.
Hey, everybody. How are you? What time? Let me see. It's, 8:56. Is that it?
8:08.
8:08, 8 minutes after the hour.
Yeah, and his eyes are horrible.
52 minutes before the top of the hour. 9 o'clock, we're going to tell you what the traffic is.
So Heather, you want me to go to this Heather, this Mother Jones story. Before we do that, I want to wrap up this topic that we're covering with this. Mm-hmm. I have a solution to the whole cop problem.
Kill them all.
No. Replace them all.
English
you're
accents.
You're close. All the cops we currently have been ill-trained, and I think we have to remove them. And replace them with only black cops.
Oh.
All black cops.
I thought you were going to say improv classes. Just learn how to... Not only that, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put your hands up.
I like it.
What do you think will happen if that happens? What do you think, guys? Like, seriously.
I think cops will start shooting each other.
I think you'd see... Yeah. I think the militias would benefit. Their recruitment would go up.
The militias?
Yeah.
How so?
Yeah. Well, a lot of white guys with guns would need somewhere to go to get their aggression taken, you know, their authority itch scratched, so to speak.
Heather, you want to?
I like the idea.
I think it's a great idea. I really do.
Boy, that would upset them worse than the Obama phones did. If you gave all the black guys guns, and then you're gonna give them. Remember how it drove those guys crazy? That Obama gave them phones.
Yeah.
Oof! Imagine if you give them guns.
Right. Yeah, it would upset some people.
Yeah, you're gonna have a hard time getting a bunch of black guys patrolling Beverly Hills. I don't think that's gonna fly.
Yeah, I would change it to just get rid of all the white judges, all black judges. I think the justice system, that's what incentivizes how they distribute the police in the various how they decide which neighborhoods go to where.
We replace them all with a Puerto Rican Lithuanian mix.
Yeah, yeah, with a little poodle.
Lithuanian's a funny word. Well done. So, Heather, you set this page up, Mother Jones. Now, the headline on this article is 13 tweets that definitely prove that Donald Trump is not a scientist.
Well, I think you should just
by
go
the way,
through the tweets.
Is anybody here a fan of Trump? Do we have any Trump fans at the table?
Now that I know he's not a scientist, not anymore.
Hey, listen, okay?
So, talk to me about this.
Well, if my computer would work, I would.
But, it's right over here.
Okay, well, I can't see that far and okay. Talk on the mic. I think you should just go through the tweets.
All right, so Donald Trump has announced he's running for president, and while the real estate and necktie tycoon has no chance of actually winning, is that true, by the way?
No, that's not true.
It's not true. It's a dangerous thing to say, isn't it?
Yeah, he could. I predict he will win, actually, because Hillary Clinton inspires no one to come out to vote for her, and she's not trying to get anyone to come out to vote for her except Republicans, and if they come out to vote for Donald Trump.
You think she's going to lose?
I really do think she's going to lose.
That's going to suck donkey balls.
You know what? It's not as bad. I tell everybody, don't freak out. Donald Trump, he's such an incompetent. He won't be able to get anything done.
He's a George Bush.
And then the House, and he's way, way, way worse than George Bush. And because George Bush had Dick Cheney, and he's got Mike Pence, who is a knucklehead. And believe me, nothing's good. He splits the Republican Party. He destroys the Republican Party. No kidding. Right now, Ben Howe, who's from redstate.com, he's telling all his conservative friends to vote for Hillary Clinton because if she becomes president, the Republican Party goes right on going on. But if Donald Trump becomes president, it just everybody splinters. He's never going to get his agenda. You think Paul Ryan's going to take his agenda and usher it through the Congress? He is not. He's not going to ban all Muslims from America. He's not going to build that wall. So it's going to split the party. He gets nothing done, anything. And in 2 years, the House and the Senate flip to Democrats. And then in 2 more years, we get a Democratic president. It's going to be So don't worry. If Hillary Clinton is president, watch out. Because she's going to get a lot of stuff done, but it's going to get right-wing stuff done. And people are going to keep an eye on Donald Trump, by the way. They're not going to let him have his foreign wars like we've been doing with presidents because they're too cowardly. The Congress is supposed to be declaring war, and they're not. Right now, Barack Obama's doing all the bombing he's doing over there on that same resolution they passed after 9/11. So it's all bullshit. And so I think if Hillary Clinton becomes president, it's actually worse.
Who passed this resolution after 9/11?
And by the way, I'm not
dealing with... Who passed it?
The Congress, everybody, the resolution to go to Afghanistan.
Yeah.
So it's not and it's not war.
So it's a continuation of that one declaration of war.
Yes.
He just keeps tacking on.
They just keep tacking. So the Congress hasn't declared war.
Okay.
Right.
It gives the president authority to make decisions unilaterally.
And so what Rand Paul is also saying is like we need to take that power back. We got to quit letting the president do whatever he wants in foreign policy. We got to take that power back, which is right now they're not. They're letting them do whatever they want. So I say I think they will if Trump is president. I think they will keep a tight rein on him. He will be so scrutinized, whereas Hillary Clinton, I mean, look at the war criminals who are endorsing her.
I like that she just said, he said Hillary Clinton like a black lady.
Clinton.
Hillary Clinton. Will be able to get a lot of horrible stuff done. And I mean, for Christ's sake, people forget we're still paying for her mistakes. The Iraq War, her mistake. Libya, her mistake. She wanted to have a no-fly zone in Syria, which sets up World War III with Russia.
Wait. It's GW's mistake. All of this that you're
she
saying
went along
is hers.
George W. Bush could not have done that without the Democrats, without the help of people like Hillary Clinton. The senator from New York State gave full-throated endorsement to that illegal war. I knew it was bullshit. The whole world knew it was bullshit.
I'm just picturing her
full-throated.
The UN
said it was bullshit.
I can't get the full-throated out of my head. I'm hung up on the full-throated.
Now she's got the throat problem with swallowing. Yeah. She got the pneumonia.
That's right.
So, Heather, tell me about these tweets that prove that Donald Trump is the thing we already know
so
he
I'm
is.
Telling people don't freak out. Everybody's freaking out because Donald Trump's going to be president. I'm not saying vote for Trump. I'm not doing that. I'm saying don't freak out. If he's president, it actually won't be as bad as people think.
And you're predicting he will be.
I am predicting that because I'm telling you, Bernie Sanders went out and gave a speech for Hillary Clinton in Ohio last week. 150 people showed up.
Really?
Yes.
Well, you heard it here first, folks. Right here, Jimmy Dore. He's predicting that the winner of this race is going to be Donald Trump. I should have held my nose. There we go. I could do it, too.
Right now, it's neck and neck. I'm saying it's a much more likelihood than most people think. Everybody is still saying, oh, no, it's an electorally she's going to destroy him. Hey, we'll see. Right now, I'm telling you, he's ahead of her in Florida and in Ohio, and he's in striking distance in Pennsylvania.
And
to
Hillary,
this guy who has offended every group in America except white racists.
Yeah. I can.
That's how bad of a candidate she is, because people are sick of it, and they know if they vote for her, it ain't going to help their life.
That
bullshit about people who vote for Jill Stein are white privilege is not true. Most of the people supporting Jill Stein are not college educated.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Listen. First of all, this. I feel like we're experiencing what the Germans experienced in the 30s.
Uh-huh.
When they one by one slowly got behind Hitler. I'm not calling Trump Hitler. I'm not doing that. That's not what I'm trying to say here. I'm just saying that
he's Hitler with better weapons.
The fear, you know what I mean? The rhetoric, and also his delivery style is very Hitler-esque. I don't think he wants to kill a bunch of Jews. I don't think he's a crazy person. I think he's an opportunistic person. I think it's different, right?
I think he's both. I think he's crazy and he wants to kill a bunch of people.
Yeah, crazy in what way?
I think he's opportunistic. I think he's crazy. I think he's not really in touch with reality. I mean, I don't think he's, crazy like he doesn't mind being a racist. Like, that's crazy to me. Yeah. It's a mental defect.
Yeah.
That on a public stage, he doesn't mind inciting violence. He doesn't mind being a Nazi. He doesn't mind retweeting Nazis and white supremacists. Like, he doesn't mind. He just hired Roger Ailes. The guy's running a fucking sexual harassment ring, and he hired the racist from Breitbart. I mean, that guy, there's something wrong with his brain. That's not just him going, well, I'm a regular person. Politically, this would be great. No, he's like, I'm a maniac, and I don't give a shit.
Yeah, there's a storm of personality disorders going on inside his head. Yeah. Narcissism, borderline, all of it. I mean,
I think he's got borderline personality disorder.
Oh, yes.
He's got it all.
Narcissistic disorder.
Sociopathic stuff. Like on 9/11, he gave a phoner and he bragged that, my building used to be the second tallest. No, well, now it's the tallest.
On 9/11.
On the day of 9/11.
He goes, you know what used to be the second tallest? Now it's the tallest.
How do you deal with your grief?
Can I say something? It's kind of funny.
No.
Come on.
But if you on 9/11.
If you wrote that in a movie, you'd be like, nah, nobody would do that.
Nobody would do that.
Jimmy, for me, it's twice as funny that he did it on 9/11. Now, I don't know. I don't know what was at root there.
Yeah.
But that is fucking hilarious to me.
But in the range we call normal, I think there's a bell curve of sanity, and most of us fall somewhere in the middle. Anybody, you're supposed to be despondent on 9/11, no matter how you've, you know, I mean, that's just insane. I mean, that's
now, this
of all
is
the
something
things.
That, and knowing case. Knowing Trump and knowing his propensity for dishonesty or out and out lies. Okay, the guy will fucking lie, knowing that it can be checked in 10 minutes and debunked. It's bizarre.
Right.
So I'm actually now wondering. I didn't know the story about him saying that it was the tallest building. Now,
yeah,
I'll bet it's not even.
I guess is it 40 Rock or something?
I don't know what the particulars
forget what the address is, but he kept saying it over and over, and it was.
I want to know now because of who he is. Not only do I think I'm with you on it being awful, even though I think it's hilarious.
Yeah.
I'll bet it's not true. That's my wager. My wager is not even fucking true.
Has anyone checked?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet it's not even true.
It wouldn't.
I bet it's
me.
Not.
Yeah.
I bet it's a bullshit line.
I bet it was like the Empire State Building was back to being the tallest building or some crazy thing like that.
Right.
And he brought out, remember the Trump steaks press conference?
Wasn't that company debunked?
There weren't even steaks. They weren't even his steaks. He just went out to Costco and bought a bunch of steaks.
What was that about?
I don't know why I brought that up.
Does he have steaks?
You know, this makes me angrier than the 9/11 thing.
It's a crazy lie.
Penn Jillette says he's such a bad businessman, he can't even sell steaks in the fattest country on the planet.
Yes, yes.
And I agree with that.
He couldn't sell steak to Americans.
Yeah.
That's how failed he is.
That's what a fucking moron he is.
Yeah.
Who would buy a Trump
$300 million dollars inherited from his father. It's estimated now he's worth $150 million. He's lost half of his father's inheritance, according to people I've talked to.
Wouldn't surprise me.
That's what I think.
I would be shocked if it's over $500 million.
Yeah. Oh, no. He is not a billionaire.
Yeah.
And he's barely $100 million.
Yeah.
Is there a term for that?
Poor. Yeah, I just think that's a millionaire.
Poor.
He's just a fucking millionaire, which is interesting for me to say because that's bizarre.
So, like, collectively, though, we've all had to experience this narrative build around Trump where he says something insane and then we respond with, like, kind of scratching our heads and the media goes on the pundit fest and they all try to figure out, well, how would you actually pay for that wall? Who would you hire?
You're going to make the Mexicans pay for it, baby.
It's like we're supplementing his insanity with our rationality in a way.
Right,
It's exhausting. It's so tiring. If you've ever been around someone who's mentally unstable, you know how exhausting it is.
I've
worked with Hank for
I just looked at Jimmy when I said that, too.
I was about to throw Heather under the bus.
I was about to the joke. Same too.
We all wrote the same joke and aimed it at each other.
All four of us fit that description.
Here are 13. These are 13 tweets that definitely prove that Donald Trump is not a scientist.
I'm going to skip around, though, because I want to talk about the...
I'm going to read the first
one. Is one of them about...
Wait,
banging his daughter?
Right? Now, again...
That's the only rational thing he's ever said. I want to
bring watched him... my daughter and I make these kinds of jokes for shock, right? But... But when he does it, he actually seems like he's hitting on her.
You didn't do it on The View?
I didn't do it on The View.
Yeah, or whatever show he was on.
When my daughter and I were on The View. So, did you want to read a first one?
No, I was. You were going to read them, but you were going to read the same things I was going to read. He is a denier of autism.
Okay, so
vaccines.
You read the headline, I'll read the...
Vaccines and autism. That was the headline.
No more massive injections. Tiny children are not horses. One vaccine at a time. Over time. That was what he...
That was in 2014
said.
Now. These were a while ago.
Point. Yeah.
Still.
This one's 2014. I am being proven right about massive vaccinations. The doctors lied. Save our children and their future. I'm not against vaccines for your children. I'm against them in a massive dose.
One massive dose.
Oh, one massive dose. That's a one? Spread them out over a period of time and autism will drop. That's right there. He's out of his fucking mind. Autism is not fucking connected in any way, shape, or form other than a fucking doctor who wanted to sell his own version of a vaccine, lied, and absolutely falsified a study in order to make this argument. That's it. There is no other. That's the air quotes evidence, and it was bullshit, and it was proven wrong.
But, I mean, maybe some of them.
None.
Oh, my God.
None. None.
Not maybe a couple that like.
How complicit is Jenny McCarthy?
Wait a minute. Have you gotten your vaccines?
I stopped getting the flu shot.
You did?
Yeah.
Why?
When did you get them till?
Up until about 5 years, 4 or 5 years ago. Because I got one in my arm and it hurt. Still hurts.
Still hurts.
The needle, wuss.
The needle's still there. It's dangling.
They left it.
Yeah. Was this when you were having bone problems?
Yes.
Jimmy had horrible. Illness with
I recovered.
His bone density got down to
zero.
They were less dense than Trump.
They were talk about
more dense. They're more dense than Trump.
Now he was much more dense.
Yeah.
So but I'm doing better. But so that's the whole thing. I don't do the flu. I'll get the flu.
Yeah.
I'd rather just get it.
Just take it.
Yeah. You know they have that thing called Guillain-Barré syndrome. Do you know what that is?
Yeah. Guillain-Barré syndrome.
Guillain, maybe I'm saying it wrong.
I don't know.
So I think that there's a connection with that to the flu shot. Is there not?
No.
Goes great with a good blue or a camembert.
I'm pretty sure. Google it.
All right. I've read about this.
You know what? I think we should take a break.
Guillain-Barré has not been proven to be caused by or activated by...
they're not connected at all?
No.
Isn't it like they know that like one out of every 10,000 people who get the flu shot is going to get Guillain-Barré?
When you look at numbers that sparse, then you're just talking about massive. We're talking about herd
immunity.
Immunity. When you get an entire herd of people a shot, a certain percentage of them will at that time or during that period in time will develop an illness, with or without the fucking shot. Jimmy, this is bullshit that you're talking about.
But you're saying you don't think that there's, for instance, you don't think there's a vaccine that could cause you to be like Roseanne Barr?
If there is, I am fully opposed to that one, my friend. That's all I have to say there. All right, we'll be right back. We're just taking a quick break here. You don't have to go very far. You're listening to Skeptically Yours on SkepticallyYours.net and available at the iTunes Store. More after this intolerable intermission. And now, a special announcement.
This is a big super shout out to all of our live listeners from last week. Sad Trombone.
Wah, wah, wah.
Kyle Delaney, My Tits.
Nice tits.
Carl
nice tits.
Barrett, Trevor, Joel, Joel. Big Butt, Zach, Cody, Mike, Mighty Mike T, Sasha Luna, Zingaman, The Shine on Emery's Head, Sean
what?
Parker, Perry Deliolia, and Joe Swam. Thanks for being here, everybody.
That's because of you can see my head in the shot sometimes. I think that's what the... Okay, and now back to Skeptically Yours, where thinking is free. We're talking with Jimmy Dore and Hank Thompson. Hank, what are you producer for Jimmy Dore?
Yeah, producer, what do you do? Editor, YouTube you do publisher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you give the man a title and a card, a for Christ's sake, man?
Leave it up to me. I'm the director of creativity.
He works his ass off
for scheduling.
Sitting in that hot room.
Yeah. I make sure stuff stays plugged in, and I say, Jimmy, stop talking. It's been 20 minutes. Next story.
How often are you guys? For a long time you were over at TNT, the Young Turks.
Yes,
TYT.
I was over at the Turner. No, I was with the Young Turks. I still am. My show is on their network.
Yeah,
and I'm an on-air host for them also.
Yeah,
and
I see you on there all the time.
Yeah, yeah. So they got also for the Bernie Sanders campaign, kind of hooked up well with the Young Turks, and we were simpatico in that way. So a lot of people couldn't stand to watch MSNBC or CNN because they didn't feel like they were given the fair shake to Bernie Sanders, so those people needed a news outlet, especially on like primary nights and debate nights and stuff and what have you. They didn't want to hear a bunch of corporatists talk of dismissed Bernie Sanders, so they came to us, and it really helped puff us up. I mean, as far as our numbers and our viewership, and it got a lot of eyes on us, and we even got a nice big article in the
Rolling Stone.
We got a nice one. Yeah.
The Rolling Stone. That was during the primary. So much cooler than the fucking Huffington.
Yeah. I think you were going to say the Washington Post.
The Washington Post also did a nice story on the Young Turks, and we got mentioned in the Rolling Stone, the Jimmy Dore Show. For our work, we did some reporting work in Las Vegas at the convention.
The article was about how handsome Jimmy's cameraman was.
Obviously. Yeah.
I wrote it.
So, so I'm doing that. It's fun. It's a nice mixture of, I really always like current events. Basically, it's talking about current events, and a lot of that is politics.
Yeah. You think that that he was robbed. Bernie was fucked over here, right?
Well, I think that if you look at the emails, right, that got exposed. Well, I mean, Debbie Wasserman Schultz had to resign in shame because it was revealed that she was actually colluding with the Hillary Clinton campaign, and she was putting her thumb on the scale for the weaker candidate, because my theory is that these corporatists would rather risk losing to Donald Trump than risk winning with Bernie Sanders, a real progressive who's going to re-regulate Wall Street, re-regulate the pharma industry, and stop the foreign wars.
So is this a split in the liberal party too? I mean, he wasn't a Democrat. He was an independent most of his life.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah.
So he
He's
jumped
a progressive.
On the he jumped on the Democrats bandwagon, and they didn't like him there. He was their Trump.
Well, when you say the Democrats' bandwagon, anybody gets to be anything they want, you know. And he exposed the Democrats for having closed primaries. Like, why would you want to? If there's someone running in the Democratic Party that excites people to want to come join your party, why would you want to exclude them? Oh, because those people don't want what we want. What do they want? They want government for the people. So keep those people out, because we'd rather risk losing to the Republicans than win with somebody who's going to reform the Democratic Party and get rid of all these corrupt corporatists and get money out of politics. What that's about. And that's why it's weird to see those people who Hillary Clinton supporters wag their finger at Bernie Sanders. Support, you better vote for Hillary. Fuck you. I better vote for Hillary. Why did they do that? They're dumb politically. And but by the way, in 2008, all the Democrats knew back then, Barack Obama and John Kerry, they all knew that Dodd-Frank, Christopher Dodd was on stage at the debate saying everybody knows that half the country is never going to vote for Hillary Clinton. And I'm not saying anything we all don't already know. And then Barack Obama said, you know, the reason why the Republicans are always bringing your name up, Hillary, because that's a fight they want. They want to fight with you. And that was true. We didn't nominate her back then. We rejected her then for a black guy with a Muslim name. Okay, so now all of a sudden,
after 9/11,
yeah, and so now all of a sudden we're supposed to just swallow this corporatist. No, but people are done. Half the country doesn't vote.
Yeah, nope. That's true.
We need a white lady with a Christian name. All right.
So, you know, their hope is we have amnesia and we forget all the stuff Barack Obama said about Hillary.
They're right
Clinton.
About that.
Yeah,
but they are right about that.
Yeah, they are right about
well,
that.
Our attention span as a populace is, somebody told me recently, 3.5 years or something, or some
so they did,
shit like that.
They did the study, and we've covered this on our show, that we really do live in an oligarchy, right? Because they've literally studied this, that the legislation that gets passed has no correlation to the wants or desires of the bottom 90% income earners. But the top 10% has a direct correlation to what gets passed and what legislation happens. So we're living, we don't have a representative democracy anymore. They already took our democracy from us. It's already gone. So if you think voting for Hillary Clinton is somehow going to help out, it isn't.
Are we gonna take to the streets one day? Are we gonna?
They did. It's called Occupy Wall Street, and then Barack Obama, at the behest of Wall Street, told union cops to go crack the heads of peaceful protesters all around the country, and didn't do a goddamn thing about it.
Obama really said that?
He let it happen. He said that, you know, when the teachers go on strike in Wisconsin, I'm going to put on a comfortable shoe and get on that picket line. He wouldn't even mention that goddamn strike. There was Scott Walker taking the union rights away from teachers, letting them demonize teachers as the what caused our economic woes. Remember that? Remember when they were blaming teachers? I knew it was somebody with no money and no power. I knew it was.
I'm worried about your heart.
You ran out of breath again.
Yeah, I know, right? Right. You know he's serious. When Jimmy runs out of air. You know he's serious when he runs out of air.
So this whole idea that somehow the Democratic Party is somehow on the side of working people, they are not.
They are not.
Barack Obama passed Obamacare. That was nice. That was a frickin' right-wing answer.
Well, I think you're right. The people do have a guy on their side now. The guy that's behind the people, the guy that's fighting for the little guy, he's the billionaire. It's Donald Trump. Ha! He's the guy that's going to do. He's going to change it all for the little guy. Okay, listen, hang tight, okay? Because right now, that is it for the free version of episode 114. But don't go anywhere, because the last half of the hour of the show, we're going to let you watch it streaming live like we always do. That's it for the free version of episode 114, another show that went off without a hitch. We miss you, Hitch. We'll be making the full 90 minutes available to our premium subscribers very soon. If you'd like to hear the full 90-minute show, please go to skepticallyyours.net/premium and subscribe. I want to thank our guests, Jimmy Dore and Hank Thompson. I also want to thank my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson. I do want to thank Heather Henderson and our camera switcher. Guess who that is?
Heather Henderson. Next week we'll be talking about?
Yeah, right. Next week we will be talking about?
What's his name?
Oh, yeah. And we'll be talking to... You took out a line from the script.
I know.
That's what happened here. Next week we'll be talking about?
What's his name?
And we'll be talking... Wait. What was the line? I've forgotten what the line was.
Next week on our show, we'll have...
Oh, next week on our show, we'll have...
What's his name?
And we'll be talking about...
Thingamajigs.
I'm going to have to start the theme music over again.
Our theme music, courtesy of the sound editor of The Aristocrats, Eric Wilson, and special thanks to our Wall of Reason moderator, Joseph Private Citizen Swam.
Where can people find you, Hank?
They can find me at Hank_Thompson on Twitter and a podcast, Infinite Clicks, on iTunes.
You have your own podcast?
Yes, sir. We cover science and bullshit.
This guy's everything, man.
Oh,
he runs stuff and he's got his own podcast. Where can people find Jimmy the Door?
You probably
Jimmy the Door. Has anyone called you that?
JimmyDoreComedy.com. And you spell Dore, D-O-R-E. It's Jimmy Dore's Comedy. Not that kind of door.
What time is it, Jimmy?
Oh, let me see. It's 8:33. We got 33. It's 27 minutes before 9 o'clock. 8:33. 33 minutes after the top of the hour. Coming up at 9 o'clock, we're going to have traffic and weather together.
You've been listening to Skeptically Yours on SkepticallyYours.net. I'm your host, Emery Emery.
And I'm Heather Henderson.
And we are Skeptically Yours. Skeptically Yours is a product of an ever-expanding universe. Thanks for listening, everybody.